Amen. Praise God, from whom all our blessings flow. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. What book are we in? And the chapter, or beginning at verse 17. Amen. Praise the Lord. We pick up right at verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have learned him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. For a few moments, we'll talk about embracing a new life. Embracing a new life. Embracing a new life. Paul has already given us an understanding in the first three chapters of Ephesians as he has written the church at Ephesus. He's given us the understanding that what our doctrine is. First three chapters, he teaches us what we believe as believers, what the saint knows about God, the ability to understand that we are adopted and we have been reconciled to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. We stand on that because we know it to be true, that Christ is our Savior. Chapter 4 through 6 begins understanding of how we ought act as believers, what our responsibility and how we are to account for ourselves as pertains to living the life God desires we live. It is here in chapter 4, he starts out and begins this passage of Scripture. He shows us that we ought walk lowly. We ought walk meekly and walk forgiving one another. Verses 1 through 3. But then he continues on in the latter verses, teaching us to be unified, being one in Christ, understanding that we are, even in our individuality and even in the diversity of the church, we work in concert or work together so that God, watch this, is glorified and the body of Christ is built. He speaks this thread of unity throughout those verses. Hear his words as he teaches us that we are gifted by God or gifted by God. Yes, he does. He says the gift that we receive from him is that of Jesus Christ dying on the cross.
And then he says that because of this gift, we are given other gifts. As a matter of fact, the church is given the gift of leadership. He says to some are apostles, some are prophets. Then he says to some were given evangelists, and then some were given to some were given pastors and teachers. This gift of men to the church, helping the church to be equipped, to be ready, and to be what God desires. He teaches us this. He shows us this in this particular letter. Now he's at verse 17. He almost appears to be going away from this thought of unity, but he really isn't. He said, in the spirit of unity, he says, you ought to understand that there is a particular level of living and a direct way that every believer ought live before God. He's speaking to this church at Ephesus, teaching them that to walk in front of God is to walk rightly in front of God. Better said, it is to walk under righteousness. It is to walk under the authority of God, meaning that God is in control, that God has all power, and that we are subject to his divine will and authority in our lives. So he says, as he writes with purpose to these people in the church at Ephesus, explaining to them the necessity of being different from their old lives. He is attempting at this point, specifically in verses 17 through 19, he is attempting to contrast the sinful way of life to the saintly way of life. And how many of you understand and recognize that once we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we're no longer sinners, but we are saints. I know what you've heard, and I've said it before. But a saint, watch this, a saint is one who has been adopted and washed in the blood of Jesus. Doesn't mean that you don't have any sin in your life. Don't mean that you never have sinned or that you haven't made any wrong movements. It means that right now you're no longer living in the sinful way, but living under the authority of God. So he said there's a difference between the sinner and the saint. The saint is one who has been saved by grace. The sinner is still looking for grace. The saint is the one who's under the mercy of God. The sinner is the one who's looking for the mercy of God. And so it is, he says to each of us as he's speaking to them, there is a contrast. There is a difference between living as a sinner and living as a saint. There is a difference in the life of the sinner and a believer. And God has empowered us, each of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, amen, to live holy. Amen. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying simply what Paul is saying. He's saying that if we're going to embrace a new life, he says we do it by this. We embrace a new life by walking differently from the world. How did I get that? I'm not that smart. It's right in the text. Verse 17, particularly 17b, he says that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Look at it, in the vanity of their mind. Interesting enough. Remember in chapter 3 and in chapter 2, specifically chapter 2, when Paul says, he says, there is no more a barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles. He says that there's no longer any difference. Remember, because the Jews at a particular time, they would look down on people who were not Jewish. And if you were not of Jewish descent, you were known as a Gentile. And oftentimes they would look down and be snobbish about being Jews. And when they spoke of Gentiles, they spoke it looking down their nose and said things like, "But you are a Gentile." Gentile was almost a bad word in those days. It was equivalent to saying the N-word today. Amen. And so it is at this, what Paul does in chapter 2, he says there's no barrier. But look, y'all, in chapter 4, he comes again and he mentions the word Gentile. But this time he doesn't mention it as it being a word that of segregation between, watch this, the Jews and the Gentiles. He used it in its correct meaning. That word Gentile in the original language is ethnos. It's where we get the word ethnicity from. It means nation. It means nation. It means numbered people. So in all actuality, Gentile referred to nations or other cultures. And so if the Gentiles or people that were not Jewish wanted to refer to the Jews, they would often call them Gentile, simply because the word meant ethnos in Greek. It meant those of a different nation or ethnicity or people of an ethnicity. Now here it is, what Paul does, he uses the word not as a word of segregation, but he uses of segregation of races, but he uses the word as a segregation of the world from the church. Hear his words. He says, no longer do you walk like the people of the world. He says, no longer do you walk like unspiritual people. People who have not accepted Christ as their Savior. Remember the first three chapters, he told us what we believe and how we ought to believe and why the foundation of the church. In chapter 4, he tells us how we ought to act, being unified. And he goes into detail and says, we embrace the new life by being differently or walking differently from the world. So don't walk like the Gentiles walk. Don't walk like the world walks. I hear you asking, how does the world walk? Well, the world walks indifferent to the word of God. You see it? Don't miss it. He says, in the vanity of their mind. Verse 18 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated. That means separated from, watch this, the life of God through the ignorance, means unknowing, that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They refuse to see the word of God as truth. All right. Y'all don't like that, but it's true. Says the saints, we embrace the new life by walking differently from the world. My wife been telling me to stop picking on Beyonce and Denzel and them, but them the only ones that know. But you know, but I'm kind of out of touch. But we don't live like Beyonce. Come on here now. We don't live like 2 Chainz. And Weezy. Romeo and Bow Wow and Snoop Dogg and all these other dogs. We walk differently. We walk differently. We're not indifferent to the word of God. We hear the word of God. Amen. Can I just say this? I got to say it because it's the truth. We don't live PC. Politically correct. Because oftentimes politically correct is indifferent to the word of God. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. I don't care what. I know I might get in trouble here because y'all love this guy a whole lot. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's a great guy. I mean, he's a good guy. As a person. But some of his politics is wrong. And I'm not talking politics, but I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? I don't care what the president say. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. Care what the Supreme Court says. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care how you color it up, how you make it up, how you dress it up, how you beauty it up, it's wrong. And the world walks indifferent to the word of God. We say they walk indifferent to the word of God. That means that the word of God means little to them. What means more to them is how they feel. Amen. Amen. How they feel and what it makes them look like and what's important to them, what's important to the world. What's important to the world is how it makes them look. God desires us to be a holy people and an obedient people. Yeah, can I just say this? And I'm not preaching hate. I'm preaching love. I'm talking. Look. Telling folk that they're wrong is not hatred. I thought I better tell you that. I tell my son he's wrong. That don't mean I hate him. I'm telling him he's wrong because I love him. Can I just tell you something else? I'm hard on him because I love him. I'm hard on him because I don't want when he get out there on the street for the indifferent world to be hard on him and not care what they do to him. I'm trying to help somebody here. Trying to help somebody. The world walks indifferent to the word of God. God's word says no. And the world says yes. God's word says don't do it. And the world says it's all right. You can't help who you love. Oh, you can help it. The world walks indifferent to the word of God. Verse 19 says that the world walks in sin. Amen. The world walks in sin, and sin really means, watch this, and watch how Paul describes it. He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, and lasciviousness means filth and nastiness. Has given themselves over to lasciviousness. I didn't pick this, y'all. This is where we are. And work all uncleanness with greediness. The world walks in sin. Walk in sin to the point to where they don't care what you say. If it's all right with them, it's all right. Matter of fact, the world believes that it's your thing. Do what you want to do. Living in their own minds. Remember, he says the blindness of the heart. And watch this, in their own mind. Whatever comes to their mind is okay. But watch this, we understand as believers that we can't walk in our own mind. Because we are subject to the will of God and we're subject
to his divine authority.
I wish I had some help here today. So the world walks in sin. The world doesn't walk godly. That's why it's easy for them to for the world to say that y'all not pray in school. That's why it's easy for them to say y'all not have the Ten Commandments up in the courtroom. That's why it's easy for them to say we don't bring the Bible and we don't teach the Bible and we want to separate, watch this, church from state. World walks in sin. And sin means to be, watch this, disconnected from God. I know it's hard, but it's fair, y'all. And so we embrace a new life by walking differently from the world. Walking differently from the world. Look, you might be worldly if folk can't tell the difference between you and worldly folk. Amen. If folk can't tell the difference between you and worldly folk, that may be a case. That might be a case of you needing to check yourself and make sure that you are in God's territory. Amen. And I'm not just talking about dressing. Amen. I'm talking about activities. Talking about the way we talk and the way we act and the way we live. Amen. There ought to be some part in us that says, I cannot do that because I have a God who's watching. I cannot do that because I have a God I am accounted to. I cannot do that because I have a responsibility so that others may see the God in me. Did you hear what I said? But then secondly, we embrace a new life by learning Christ. By learning Christ, he says in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. He says, walking indifferent to the word and walking in sin is not what we learn in Christ. Christ teaches us to be obedient to God's word. He teaches us to love one another. Christ teaches us to treat our neighbors right. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, there's what we know have come to know as the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that do right, for they shall see God. I mean, and so forth, and go on in the pure in heart. And these are teachings from Christ as to how we ought live. He says, we learn differently from God. We learn differently from Christ. Those who embrace the new life have no problem learning from Christ. And how do we learn from Christ? We learn from Christ through his word. And how do we learn his word? Can I tell you? Amen. Somebody said it. Say it again for me. Bible study. You want to learn God's word? Get in Bible study. You want to learn God's word? You want to learn what God says? You want to learn Christ? Read his word. Amen. Long time ago, they used to have these novels called Harlequin novels. They still got them. Folk, you know what I'm saying, would have bookshelves of Harlequin novels, and you can't find a Bible nowhere. We got folk, look, we feed our mind. Let me tell you something. Look, we learn Christ by feeding our mind on the words of Christ. Look, we can't get better if we feed our mind on Jerry Springer. We can't get better if we feed our mind on worldly things. Every time we turn on the radio or turn on, if every CD we got is a CD full of cuss words, that's,
my Lord, come on now.
That's how you gonna talk. That's how you gonna live. I know y'all don't like it, but it's the truth. If everything you got is lasciviousness, and everything we have is unclean, 9 times out of 10, that's how our mind begins to form. We learn Christ. He says, we learn Christ. We learn Christ by being in his word, but then he says, by learning Christ, he says, we learn to reject the old man. Verse 21, it says, if so be that ye have heard him, talking about heard Jesus, if you've heard Christ, and see, the thing about it is once you've heard Christ, learned Christ, read Christ, you've been learning of Christ, you can't be the same way. If you've heard him, he says, watch this, and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. And conversation is not talking just about how you talk, but it's talking about the lifestyle. Your lifestyle changes, he says. He says, we learn to reject the old man. What is the old man? The old man, he says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The old man has corruption. He's saying to you and to I that we learn to reject our fleshly desires. We learn to reject those things. Look, what we were before, we learn how to overcome them. And become, watch this, spiritual people. That's what Christ teaches. He teaches us to be spiritual. The corruption, he says, and then according to the deceitful lust, those things which we desire, which are prohibited and forbidden, we embrace them. We embrace the new life by learning Christ. We learn to reject the old man, but then we learn, as I've already stated, to be spiritual and be renewed by the spirit of your mind. Isn't it interesting that Paul speaks of the mind? Remember what he says in Romans 12 and 1, where he says, and I paraphrase, he says, don't be like the world. He says, but be transformed. And then he says, by the renewing of your mind. The mind has to be new. It has to change. He calls for a change in our thinking. A change in our, watch this, our sight and insight. A change in our thoughts. A renewed mind. We're no longer controlled by the mind, but we control our minds by renewing them, making the minds that say that, look, this is what the Lord says. And since the Lord says this, I'm subject to what God says. I live according to his will, and his will alone means that my mind doesn't tell me what I want. My mind is subject to what God says I do. I don't live off my frills and feels. I don't live off my desires and my wants. I live off the mind of God, which says what is right. And see, here's what's happened with the world. The world has given us a list of stuff. Matter of fact, the list is unlimited to the point to say that, you know, anything goes. You can have what you want, have who you want, do what you want, act whatever way you want, and it's all right because your truth is your truth. But when our minds are renewed, we understand that there is only one truth. What did the text say? He says in verse 21, as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want to help somebody here to understand that if you really want the truth, you better get Jesus. If you really want your life to be different, you need Jesus. If you really want to be changed, you need Jesus. Can I tell you something? You can't do it on your own. There are many of us who are trying to save ourselves and fix ourselves and talking about, I'm going to wait until I get myself together and then I'm going to come. Let me tell you, baby, then you ain't never coming because you'll never get yourself together. You need to renew your mind. A mind that says, I can't handle it by myself. You need a renewed mind. A mind that said, I can't control myself by myself. I need Jesus. You need a renewed mind. A renewed mind. New thinking. That's what it really means. New thinking. A new way of thinking. A new way of thinking that says, everything I want ain't necessarily everything I need. You need new thinking. Everything I want to say ain't necessarily something I need to say. New thinking. Every way I want to treat people ain't necessarily the way I ought to treat people. New thinking. A new mind. A new mind is a Christ mind. A new mind is a mind that is, watch this, ordered, ordained, and watch this, subject to the will of Jesus. We live spiritual. Living spiritual, he says. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That is, we are shaped by God. We're not shaped by culture. We're not shaped by other people. You know, just because other people did it doesn't necessarily mean it's right. I said this on last week, and I say it again. What we do must line up with the word of God. The new mind, the new life, the new man says, how does this line up with what God says? Does this line up with what God says? The way I treat my brother, the way I treat my sister, the way I treat my mother, the way I treat my church members, the way I treat the folk on my job, does it line up with the word of God? Does it line up with the word of God? I'm just asking you to just think about it. The way you treat folk around you. Does it line up with the word of God? I mean, are you shaped in your own mind and your own thoughts that says, I've been this way all my life? If you've been that way all your life, only thing it means is your mind ain't new. Because you can't meet Jesus and remain the same way all your life. I'm afraid when you meet Jesus, something's got to change. There's something different about you when you meet Jesus. You don't believe me? Ask blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, matter of fact, I'm calling his name wrong. Because Bartimaeus is no longer blind. He met Jesus on the highway one day, and guess what? He walked away seeing. There's a difference in you when you meet Jesus. When you meet Jesus, there's a difference in you. Jesus just don't come in your life and you the same way. You don't believe me? Ask the man with the withered hand. I'm calling his name wrong because his hand is no longer withered. He met Jesus. Jesus said, stretch. And a hand came out. Ask the man who was lame and was sitting at the pool and was sick with infirmity for, it said, 38 years when he met Jesus. He got up walking. Wherever Jesus is,
You don't just remain the same. And look, you don't have to just go there. You can talk to Big Mama. And Big Mama would tell you, I met him for myself. And since I met him, I ain't been the same. She did, can I tell you what she say? She say, places I used to go, I don't go no more. Things I used to do, I don't do them no more. Stuff I used to say, I don't say them no. Anybody else with that same testimony? You met Jesus and your life changed. Embracing the new life is literally embracing Jesus. It's taking on the understanding that, look, whatever happens in my life is ordained and is in his will. But the good thing about it is, since it's in his will, that means that if it happens, he can control it. Can I tell you something else? It means that, look, when bad stuff happens in my life, I don't necessarily have to handle it. Because by and by, Jesus will handle it for me. That's what it means to have a new mind. It means I will trust him in spite of what goes on. I'll trust him in the midst of my circumstance. I'll trust him when life gets rough and life gets tough. I want to help somebody to understand that you can depend on Jesus. He'll renew your mind. He'll renew your mind and he'll fix your life. All you got to do is hear his word. And can I tell you, you can't be better if you don't listen to his word. If you don't read his word, if you don't study his word, you'll never know his word. And you know what? His word is literally, watch this, him breathing on us. If you want to feel the breath of God, open the Bible up. You want to feel him. You want to feel him over you. You want to feel his breath. You want to feel him. Just open the Bible up and just start reading. Somebody say, you don't have to understand all of it. You know, but it said that he'll call to your remembrance. But you got to have something in you to remember. That's the renewing of your mind. I'm through now. But I done got happy. I got happy because when I think about what he's done for me and how he's brought me through, all I can tell you, it was Jesus. It wasn't my mama. It was Jesus. I don't know about you, but I found peace in Jesus. That don't mean I didn't have some trouble, because you know what? I discovered it, that even in the midst of trouble, I can depend on him. He's with me always. How do you know that, wife? Because he said it in Matthew 28. He says, and lo, I'm with you always. Anybody here right now? Know that God will take care of you. Anybody here right now have tried him for yourself? Has he changed your mind? Made you whole? Ain't he all right? Yeah. I didn't mean to do all that. I don't mean to do all this. But I'm glad.
I'm so glad.
I've got a Savior who loved me so. He died out on Calvary. Yes, he did. They stretched him wide, hung him high. They pierced his side. Yes, they did. Oh, laid him in a borrowed tomb. But only, only, only Sunday morning, he got up with all power. All power. Yeah, yes, he did. How can you say that, White? Because I got a renewed mind. The old mind said, that ain't possible. But my new mind says, I know he lives. Because he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. Yeah. Let me
extend the privileges.
A new mind, a new me, a new life. You can be brand new. You can be different. You don't have to walk indifferent to the world, or to the word of God. You don't have to walk in step with the world. You can be changed by Jesus Christ. He'll make you new. He'll make your life brand new. What does that mean? Does it mean I won't have some problems? No, it doesn't mean you won't have some problems. But what it does mean is that he'll take care of you through your problems. Does it mean I won't have any burdens? No, it doesn't mean you won't have any burdens. Hallelujah. But what it does mean is that he'll help you carry your burdens.
Yes, Lord.
Does it mean you won't have some loads you got to carry? No, it don't mean that, because you sure enough will.
My.
But he's a heavy load sharer.
Yes, Lord.
If you just let him in, if you just let him
in
your life.